to order. It is 1:01 p.m. on Wednesday, May 3rd. Members present at this time, Representative Chris Birch, Representative Justin Parrish, Representative Dave Tellerico, Representative Harriet Drummond, Representative Delana Johnson, Vice Chair Representative Dean Westlake, Co-Chair Representative Andy Josephson, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. Assisting us today, Ms. Tillinghast is our recording secretary, and Kyle Schramm is our LIO moderator. Thank you so much to both of you for being here. Although Ms. Tillinghast has to do our minutes, and we are keeping her very busy, so thank you for your work. We just have one item on the agenda today, House Bill 238, related to independent expenditures. And before we do that, please silence your cell phones. I realized just before committee that I owe committee donuts or something from my mistake the other day, and I forgot to do it, so it will be taken care of at a future meeting. And then also members have, and just for the public to know, and outside of our meetings, we're trying to be productive, and so tomorrow we will be going on a tour of the Greens Creek Mine. So everyone should have an itinerary on your desk. We'll be getting up at 4 a.m. to attend this, so everybody go to bed at 6 p.m. tonight, please. But please let us know if we have any questions, and perhaps in a future meeting we can share some of what we saw and learned out there so that others can share in that experience. So with that, if Representative Guttenberg and his staff would like to come forward, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to get off the program a little bit and just explain the process of the bill and the whole independent expenditure situation, because it's really been rendered down a lot farther than the bill is. So,
and could we just have folks put themselves on the record?
Representative David Guttenberg.
Thank you.
This started off with in 2014 with Representative Thompson, a bill to explore all the independent expenditures and tax credits that aren't normally in the budget, to look at them, because in some ways they're off budget. So there was a report came out which was very informative. And when I took the DNR budget, one of the tasks we were tasked with was to look at all of those and figure out if there's anything that should be addressed. So Seth is my staff. Tom Akinson did most of the work when he worked in my office. So we looked at all of them, many of the ones that were in use or were recommended by Ledge Finance to had to have action because they didn't see what was going on. In some cases, it was royalty relief. And the commissioner had done the royalty relief. So Ledge Finance wouldn't have seen that. But we've rendered down an understanding of the nature of all of those expenditures and tax credits to just the ones that are before you in the bill. And yesterday we, which is three, yesterday we received an email from Bruce Webb with Fury, who said, you know, they had a NAOGA meeting, and he says, these two are of value to us. And if anybody said there was a value or there was an intent to use something, we weren't pursuing it or putting in the bill. So with that, with the ones, that's the ones in section two in the bill. The bill's just rendered down at this point to section one, which is a mining and extraction. And if you went to the independent expenditure, indirect expenditure report. This is a credit that was enacted in 1959. It hasn't been used in the last 5 years. I don't know if there's activity before that, but in the last 5 years. And Ledge Finance says the program has not met its legislative intent, but they recommended continuing it while the, and if I just quote what they say, while the provision has not been used, it costs nothing to administer and could still be used in the future. So at that point, I wanted to put that in front of you, that this has been a process of trying to determine what is the most important thing to do with these expenditures. Are they, have they been used? Are they relevant to the state? And it's rendered down through all of them to this section one, this one by itself, which doesn't cost anything and nobody uses.
Okay. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, can you just tell us, you just read something from Ledge Finance. Can you describe the source of that or the date or something?
Sorry. The documents come right out of the independent expenditure book. They look like this. These are the pages. You hopefully you have them. We tore the pages, separated out the DNR pages.
Got it. Okay.
This is what they look like. And if you go to the bottom section is legislative finance analysis per the bill. Mm-hmm. And on this one, at the top it said waive rent and royalty for shale oil.
Mm-hmm. And a follow. Thank you.
So this is what.
Okay. Just a follow. Mm-hmm. Representative Guttenberg, is it your position that because Fury has said no, indeed, we still use two of these credits, that your position is we should abandon Section 2 and just focus on Section 1?
Yes. Well, what Fury says is we would like those credits in Section 2 to be modified so we can use them. Okay. So instead of repealing something and starting from scratch, I would say it would be more productive for the legislature if they wanted to do that to just amend what's already an existing statute. So that's why I am recommending that we would, because it's your document now. Once it's in your committee, you have control of it. If you want to move the bill, just to delete that section. Or those reference to those credits.
And just for folks online, so the first part, now that we're looking at Section 1, 3805-160B, the fiscal note talks about that, and this is the royalty relief in the first 5 years. The statute was enacted in 1959, but they say DNR is aware of any oil shale leases or activities ever occurring in Alaska since the statute was there, so they don't anticipate a fiscal impact. So this is an unused provision for 60 years.
Yes.
And so by repealing that, we're not eliminating a program that's been in use and it has no fiscal impact, but we're cleaning up the statutes as it relates to oil and gas tax provisions.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions about that? I was just trying to match up the sections to the fiscal notes. Representative Birch.
It's just a simple question. Why?
Why what?
Why? Just a cleanup thing, or what's the motivation?
Well, the motivation was to review the credits and expenditures, and are they being used? Are they, like in the statement, Ledge Finance review, is it meeting legislative intent? So we went through all of them that related to the Department of Natural Resources. And I forget how many there were exactly, but many of them were used, being used. Some of them the commissioner had done royalty relief, and so we did not advance them. And if somebody called up and said, I'm using that, or that's relevant, or the department said, yes, that's in place, but we are using that, or that's part of something else, we didn't put it in the bill. So what we put the last three that were in the bill, and then yesterday Mr. Webb from Fury says, hey, those two are still good. So that's Section 2, which renders the bill down to just Section 1, which is a credit established in 1959 and hasn't been used for the last 5 years. So Ledge Finance says it doesn't cost anything, nobody's using it. Basically, you can do what you want with it. It's innocuous on the books. So we can delete it or advance it to finance where it goes next, or just let it die here. This is more about, for me, this has been more about a process of looking at existing statute, trying to figure out what's still relevant to the legislature, than the value of what we're getting out of each of these credits. I didn't go into that world. That's not what I was trying to do, but to follow through with the intent of the indirect expenditure reports. So here we sit here with the only one that has, no one has expressed interest or isn't being used, which is basically innocuous, that Ledge Finance says they doesn't cost anything, nobody's using it.
Thank you.
Can you follow up? Okay. Representative Josephson.
Yes. Thanks, Madam Co-Chair. The independent expenditure question. So, I mean, the ones that Fury is using are independent expenditures all the same, obviously. But what I hear you saying is rather than this committee delving into the merits of their continuing to use it, we should consider deleting or repealing those independent expenditures for which there's no current constituency. There's just total indifference. And before someone gets attached to them, we should consider repealing them. That's how I hear you.
Well, yeah. I mean, Fury would like to see the credits in Section 2 of the bill modified to fit the need of the industry. So they would – that's an amendment process, but – the intent of this bill, from my perspective, was not to go into the merits of doing those things, but just to see what's still relevant to be on the books, right? Is anybody using it? And then that renders the bill down to just one, which nobody's using, mm-hmm. and Ledge Finance says it's innocuous. If you decide that that's relevant, then we can just let it die. But we hear so much from our constituents, well, you guys never take anything off the books, right? There's never any bill. So this was an attempt to look at those things from Representative Thompson's legislation that, the observation that we don't really ever look at the independent expenditures. It's kind of off budget. And so we have looked at them, and this is only the DNR budget. There's lots of other budgets that are relevant, but weren't done here.
And just, I'll just read this. We have it in the record. Section 2, it repealed AS 3805-180-F5, and this was the 10-year royalty reduction to 5% for six specific fields in Cook Inlet that were historically shut in or undeveloped between 1988 and 1997. So it sounds like from Cook Inlet perspective, there may be interest in revisiting that portion of it. The last royalty relief under this provision expired in 2012, and so that's why originally it said there was no fiscal impact. And then the other sections that were going to be repealed all connected to that one. So if you make the decision that F5 shouldn't be repealed at this time, then the other ones shouldn't be repealed either. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a question, Representative Johnson?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Madam Speaker. My question was, I don't see a lot of, letters of opposition, or is there been any, maybe I missed it. Has there been any opposition to this at all?
Not until yesterday.
Not until yesterday. Okay.
So yesterday I received an email from Bruce Webb, who's Fury, and I can just, so if there was opposition, it means somebody's using it. And if somebody's using it or the department's using it, well, the intent is being met in some way. So that was not included in the bill. So Mr. Fury, would have liked to have testified. He would like Section 2 to be amended and expanded, right? But that was not my intent in this bill, is to, if people were using something, then it should stay on the books.
I was just checking with my staff, because Ed King here in the audience from DNR, and I don't know if you wanted to invite him up or if he was just available for questions. How about we invite?
We drug him here, he might as well.
Okay, let's invite Mr. King. I'm sure we can. Thank you, Mr. King. Do you want to put yourself on the record and have any comments to share, we'd appreciate that.
Sure. Madam Chair, for the record, Ed King, Special Assistant to Commissioner of Natural Resources. As was testified, the department is largely indifferent between the provisions in this bill if they were to be repealed or left in place. Just for clarification with regards to the comment that FERI is using these provisions, under the current provisions, the way that they're currently written, they are not using these royalty relief provisions. What I believe the president of FERI is asking for is an amendment to the current statute to make them eligible for these provisions.
Thank you.
And I'd be happy to talk through any of the sections or the impacts on the department or answer any questions, whatever the wish of the chair.
Let's go to a question from Representative Josephson, and then it sounds like there is interest in that.
Through the chair, Mr. King, what makes them ineligible right now?
Through the chair, or co-chair Josephson, the provision in F5 was enacted in 1998 for fields that weren't in production during the time. The FERI is currently producing gas from the what's called the kitchen lights unit in Central Cook Inlet. That unit didn't get developed until around 2000 and I want to say six or so. The second provision that was added after a couple of years later under 3805180DD mm-hmm. puts a restriction that you had to have been in production before 2004 to be eligible for that provision in F5. And since they were not, they are not eligible for this and are not currently receiving that. The F6 provision is for oil production from Cook Inlet platforms, and since they're not producing oil, they're not eligible for that as well. And the platform isn't specifically enumerated within the statute to make them eligible for it either.
Follow-up?
Through the chair, to the extent, Mr. King, you're in communication with FERI, I guess they're not here, as far as I can see, they're not physically in the room. I'm not so sure. Well, there's a difference of opinion, as you know, between the House and the Senate as to House Bill 111 and what the state's obligation portfolio should be. But is it your understanding that FERI actively wants us to lift sort of the sunset on these provisions so that they can get in under them? And do you know what that would cost the state? And I don't see anybody here with a PowerPoint presenting this proposal.
I just want to add something, Mr. King. When you talk about these, could you talk sort of more broadly about sort of operators in Cook Inlet and not so specific to one particular operator and what might impact their economics, for example?
Yes, Madam Co-Chair. Co-Chair Justin, I don't want to speak on behalf of any industry participants on what their intentions might be. All I can say is that they would not be meeting the current definitions of the law, and so if they're asking or objecting to the repeal of these, it must be for another purpose. And you might, or Mr. Webb might be interested in testifying before you on those points if you're interested.
Okay. I mean, it just as a follow-up, it just doesn't sound like they're prejudiced if they're ineligible. So I don't understand. I don't understand what their position is.
By the way, Mr. Chair, what they want to do is expand and change and amend the statute to make them eligible. They're looking for gas to supply into the interior, I believe there would be some royalty relief issues, and that's their hope that they can get there. So, like everything else, if there was an interest or a goal, or there was a purpose for the credit, we did not advance it, and we didn't know about that. FERI's interest itself until yesterday.
Okay. And I guess just for the record, I'll read the particular provision, the 3805180DD. A lessee is eligible for the royalty relief in F5, as Mr. King mentioned, of this section, only if production of oil or gas for sale begins from the eligible field before January 1st, 2004. So that is the current date. And so it sounds like, you know, that particular date restriction makes it so that some companies who may have an interest in this particular provision are not eligible, and that would be the item for consideration.
And yes, that's correct, Madam Chair. And this, for the record, is Ed King again. In addition to that, the field that FURIA is producing from is not enumerated within F5 and is also not eligible for that reason. So even if you were to lift the restriction from DD, you would also have to add their field to the provision in F5.
Representative Westlake, did you have any other questions?
Actually, through the chair, no. Between Representative Josephson and the answers, I found what I was looking for. Thank you.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is it accurate to say that if provision receives the changes that they're requesting, they would begin to receive this royalty relief subsidy on fields that are already on a field which is already in production?
Representative Parrish, through the chair, and if I can address the comment that was made a moment ago, Representative Tarr, just for the record and for clarity, all of the information relating to the payments of royalties is public and available at DNR's website, and it is listed at an operator level. So I can speak without violation of anybody's confidence about what any individual company is paying for in royalties. And Representative Parrish, to your question, yes, FURIA is, Cornucopia FURIA is currently producing from the kitchen lights unit, and if they were added to this provision for royalty relief, then their royalty payments would be reduced from the 12.5% that they're paying today to whatever the provisions in the law would say.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
More questions on this thing. Why would we do that?
If I may. In conversations with people involved in the Interior Energy Project and with Mr. Fury's letter, is in order to make gas affordable in the interior, that royalty relief would be needed. So if we've done this in various places to make gas or whatever affordable, that would be one of the reasons why we might want to do that.
Do you have another follow-up?
I suppose so, yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems like if we're going to be trying to subsidize the cost of energy for our citizens, and we do that a lot, we should do that more directly rather than going to the company and giving them the money and saying, and also please lower the prices. Just a comment, I suppose.
If I may, Madam Chair, this bill doesn't do that, right? We're going back to what FURIA's request would be, is to have these on for these to remain on the books so they can have that argument discussion with you and with the commissioner. I believe the commissioner still is the one that does royalty relief for that to happen. That's, we're not proposing amending the statute to deal with that right here.
If I may, Madam Chair, Ed King for the record again, just off of that point Representative Guttenberg just made, there is a separate provision within our statutes, 3805-180, it's Section J, which gives the grants the authority to the commissioner to offer or allow a modification or reduction in royalties. That is permitted after a process in which the commissioner makes a determination that it's in the best interest of the state to do so for the purpose of either getting a field into production or maintaining it towards the end of the field life. So a company can, if they are economically challenged, come to the DNR commissioner and make a petition for a royalty relief, and that authority has been granted by the legislature to the commissioner to do that. That is a different provision within statute. The provisions here in F5 and 6 were direct royalty reliefs made by the legislature and not decisions that were made by the commissioner.
Just a brief at ease.
If somebody doesn't qualify under statute because their unit is in the wrong place and they don't qualify because it has sunsetted, but yet the company wants to somehow cling to the hope that they can expand the geographic coverage and the time limitation, that's as far removed from legislation as just drafting a new bill. And so I don't really understand why we wouldn't just repeal these if they're not being used. I just don't get it.
So, if I may, relieving Mr. King of the policy discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
It's in front of the committee, right? It's the will of the committee. The bill is the committee's bill, right? I put this in front of you, and everything that we, all the credits and tax credits and all those things that had interest in people that were using them, we had taken off. So had I waited a little bit longer and had heard from AOGA or Mr. Webb or somebody else in Cook Inlet, it would have rendered down to the one that would have been that, and I probably wouldn't have done the bill. So if anybody had expressed interest, we were pulling them off of doing that.
Okay. And just to follow up, going back to sort of why we're here through the chair for Representative Guttenberg, you mentioned Representative Thompson's legislation and the purpose was to look at independent expenditures, and I'm trying to remember, I know there's a sort of cogent, concise definition of them, but the essence of them is that they are things for which we don't receive funds, and in fact we spend money that is at our discretion. Mm-hmm. That's sort of how I view them. I suppose some of them, I don't want to say they're not constitutionally required because I'm often arguing a different position. But perhaps you could share with the committee your view about what independent expenditures are. And then as sort of a follow-up on that, it's my understanding that as a policy call, our co-chairman of House Finance said we want to delve into these because we have a budget crisis. We want to know what we could opt not to spend money on. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just educate me and the committee a little bit more on independent expenditures.
So just before I refer to that, we are not spending money on any of these right now.
Right.
And even if we repealed Section 2, we would not, and it remained on the books, we wouldn't be spending anything until the legislature passed legislation expanding or changing in some way. So these AS 4305095 defines an indirect expenditure as an express provision of state law that results in foregone revenue for the state by providing, right? So it's we have decided we're going to do something that where we normally would have gotten revenue, we're going to give somebody something back. So tax credit or other credit, an exemption, doesn't include federal exemptions, a discount, a deduction, but does not include costs incurred in the ordinary cost of business, or a differential allowance. Those are basically the things that go into it. So it's things that it's exactly what we have here. Instead of getting the revenue, indirect expenditures go all through our tax policy, certainly through our oil and gas tax policy. They're everywhere. And every year, just like this year, we put a valuation on it and have those arguments over what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So these are ones that have been rendered down to orphaned, if no other term. Right.
Thank you.
Representative Rauscher just joined us. If please let the record reflect. Thank you. Any other questions for the bill sponsor or Mr. King? Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just so, I guess, on the record so that we're all clear, I know we have statutes that cover a lot of different operations. Some are non-conventional gas plays. Some would be what I always call traditional reservoirs, whether they be wet or dry. This is specifically related to shale, oil shale plays, correct?
Yes, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. So we're, in a way, it's kind of limited to just that one particular form of development and doesn't say a traditional reservoir wouldn't have an application here.
Well, if I may, Madam Chair, I imagine that if if this were to come up in another bill or another hearing, you would see to modify it or to amend it, you would see other players looking to make sure it works for a variety of people.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. King, did you have something to add?
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record again, Ed King. Just so that there is no confusion, the provision within Section 1 that lives within AS 3805-160B is a mining provision. It is not an oil and gas lease provision. So the leasing activities that, you know, Great Bear or Accumulate Energy, that those activities, those are not impacted by the repeal of this provision. This was a the idea here for these oil shales is to actually dig up into the ground, get the rock out of the ground, and take it to a lab and finish the maturation process of the kerogen and actually compel oil to be produced from a source rock that wasn't in the thermal maturation zone long enough to actually produce hydrocarbon. It was back in the 1950s. It was what it thought was thought to have been the next breakthrough technology in energy. It never really happened. So not to confuse oil shale, the actual mining of the rock, with shale oil production, which we now call tight oil production for this exact reason, which is what you see in the Bakken and Eagleford and other places. Mm-hmm.
Thank
Any
you.
Follow up?
No, that's a great explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Madam Chair, for Mr. King, I've just written down oil shale does not equal shale oil. Is that what you just said?
Representative Josephson, that is correct.
Okay, thanks.
No follow up?
Nope.
Okay. there's been a request if you would share information from the email that was sent to you to better understand that. Then if you send that through our offices,
I can give it to you right now because we obviously have it on our computer and your
Okay,
staff.
Excellent. Boucher perhaps can get that and make – do you want to make copies here before we adjourn? okay, that takes care of that item. Any other questions or comments? Mr. King.
Just for completeness, Madam Chair, I would like to add, so the department is very indifferent between the removal or the keeping on the record or in the statute the provisions in Section 1 because the provision hasn't never been used and is never expected to be used. We don't really care if it's on the books or not. That's up to you. I could make a similar statement about the F5 provision within the 3805-180F5. Those provisions have also largely expired because of the reasons that we've talked about, and therefore we're indifferent. No, we're not deploying any resources in the effort of those. So if it is to remain or be removed, we're really indifferent. However, the provisions in F6 are in fact still being utilized, and the only reason why the department is taking a stance where we're indifferent in how it's currently drafted is because in the transition language, it effectively holds harmless the leases that are currently benefiting from that royalty relief. So with that transition language in place, we would also be indifferent if you removed that statute as well. But just to be clear, that statute, that royalty relief, is actually currently being utilized.
Thank you. That's really important clarification. Any other questions about that? And I guess what you're referring to is that on page 2, it talks about, you know, any of these changes would apply to a lease entered into on or after the effective date of this, so that would hold harmless any place where it's being used. Any other comments or questions?
But just, if I could, mm-hmm. just be clear through the chair for Mr. King. So I understand the importance of the transition language, but what is the department's view if Section 2 were enacted as written with the transition language?
Representative Josephson, the bill is written today with the transition language in place, there is no impact on the department or on the industry.
I may.
Mm-hmm. Representative Guttenberg.
As it's still being used, we would not see it in statute. We would not know it was being used. So that would be a consideration for you to have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then we do have on Friday public testimony. So today was the invited testimony presentation. On Friday's public testimony, perhaps you can let the individuals who have communicated with you know that, and if they would participate, then that would be helpful to understand. for consideration, but we can specifically reach out to Fury and let them make sure that they know that the public testimony is on Friday afternoon.
Okay, we will.
Okay. No other questions or comments? Okay. Well, then, record speed for this committee at 1:37. We'll wrap up. Again, everyone should have the itinerary for tomorrow, and we'll get to know each other at 4 a.m., which will be a different time of day. So with that, we are adjourned at 1:37 p.m. Thank you.